classical guitarist Jason Vio is here in the studio with me right now. I'm very excited to welcome you here to Richmond, Jason.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so classical guitar, what drew you to the classical realm growing up with all the rock and pop that you were probably exposed to?
Sure. Yeah, that was, I mean, my parents' record collection, my mother's record collection was entirely soul and R&B records and some rock and roll like the Beatles and Mamas and Papas and stuff, Creedence Clearwater Revival. And my dad's record collection was entirely modern jazz. So I would just listen to these records incessantly, you know, from the time I was 2-3 years old. And so my mother bought me a guitar when I was five, like a kid-sized guitar when I was five, not realizing, we didn't know that there was such a thing as classical guitar. We didn't know that it had like a repertoire and, you know, and all that stuff. So
how did you get into it?
Well, I got into it because of the Buffalo Guitar Quartet. Okay. Growing up in Buffalo, New York, my mother was working as a secretary at the time for the library at my elementary school, and they came and gave an outreach performance, and these four guys in tuxes, you know, playing Bach and Mozart and arrangements of Debussy and Ravel and stuff. It was a wonderful kind of thing. And so my mother, I think, you know, was kind of like, oh, there is a proper, you know, in the sense of like, these guys are proper musicians, like they read music, you know, that's kind of what she was looking for, but didn't really know, I think, before that it existed. She knew a flamenco guitar.
Right.
So Jeremy Sparks became my first teacher when I was like 7 or 8 years old. And I just got into, it wasn't like I was, you know, initially really into classical music more than rock or less. I mean, I just liked music. But eventually it dawned on me that it was a lot more challenging technically and musically than just kind of picking up. I mean, once I started classical training, I mean, I started picking up things off the radio and, you know, rock and roll and stuff like that and just play stuff by ear.
And it was easy.
It was easy. Yeah. I mean, not Eddie Van Halen stuff wasn't easy, but I mean, you know what I'm talking about, or Steely Dan, but riffs and stuff like that, you know, Zeppelin riffs or whatever. It was, you know, Rolling Stones, you know. So I felt like, well, studying classical is something that you actually have to work at in order to someday maybe be good at. So it was kind of a motivating factor for me.
And there are a lot of subtleties when you're playing classical guitar in terms of changing the sound. So what are some of the things that you do to change the color of your playing?
Yeah, so the fingernails have to be, of course, very, you know, carefully shaped and groomed and you know, smoothed out with, like, I've got this automotive grade sandpaper that we use to really make it very, very fine, like a piece of glass almost. And the nails are what project your sound, so I mean, if we talk about, like, we were talking about Dan Visconti's concerto that I'm premiering with Richmond Symphony here this weekend, you can play, like, you know, if you play in the middle of the string with your nail, you can get kind of a sweet sound, or if you want, you can get this more metallic or kind of what we call ponticello. A brighter sound versus the previous darker sound. So you think of those darker, brighter, and everything in between as colors. We call that a color.
Really neat. And, you know, we've talked before on this show about some of your previous CDs. The last time we were talking about Infusion.
Yeah.
With the collaboration with Julian Lebrow. Yes. What a neat album that is. Maybe for some of our listeners that didn't hear that interview, you can tell me a little bit about your collaboration with him.
Well, we've been actually playing music together for almost 10 years. We made a record in 2010 of all music by Astor Piazzolla, the Argentine Nueva Tango master. And that was with a chamber orchestra in Boston called A Far Cry. So that's a wonderful thing, because we recorded his original concerto for bandoneon and guitar. And then also Julian did this incredible arrangement of Piazzolla's Four Seasons. For something, the next record, Infusion, we wanted to go into more of a improvised jazz, even a little bit of soul R&B kind of inflected thing, Latin American music, kind of all over the place. I did for our encore, when we first started performing regularly as a duo, I did an arrangement of a Tears for Fears song that...
right.
Everybody wants to rule the world, you know, the kind of thing is just, we just, the whole kind of thing is really just about having fun and arranging and it's been great for me because it's gotten me back into some improvising in a live and recorded context. So Infusion's really like a reflection more of our duo in that sense, like more specifically how the two instruments interact.
And this is a rather unique piece that you're playing this weekend. It's only the third performance of Dan Visconti's Guitar Concerto Living Language. And this has some different genres included in it, doesn't it?
For sure, for sure. I mean, there's definitely styles from around the world. I mean, like the part I was playing before, the... It's got this almost Carnatic music, East Indian kind of thing to it. And then, you know, then you get into these kind of very bluesy sort of... Lots of bending. You know, it's almost kind of like kind of playing that Clapton or... You know, Hendrix or Jeff Beck or something like that would be doing.
So this is a bit of a workout for you this weekend.
Yeah,
isn't it?
it's kind of crazy. It's got thousands of notes in it, and then even these kind of bits that kind of very groovy kind of. Thing and you know it's got a little bit of Zeppelin kind of vibe into it as well. It's really going in a lot of places, a lot of Delta blues as well in there, Chicago blues. So it's just a very interesting piece. It's all thematically tied together as well, and it's in kind of three distinct sections. It's played straight through. It's a 22 minute piece without interruption, but it's in three very clear sections, and the final section is very lively and fast, and it has a lot more interaction with the orchestra echoing the themes that are presented in the first section.
Tell me a little bit about the history between you and Dan Visconti. He also wrote Devil's Strum, a blues-infused work that he wrote for you back in 2010.
Yeah, that was something. I mean, I had been hearing about Dan as when he was a student at Cleveland Institute of Music in, I want to say, like the late 2000s, like 2006, 7, 8. I think he was a student around there. And then it was 2008 or 9. He just called me up out of the blue, and I hadn't met him, but I used to hear about him all the time because he was winning all these awards that, you know, like, you know, people that are, when they're finished being students and are professionals or were winning, like he was winning them while he was a student at Cleveland Institute of Music. So he had won this other award, and he said, the stipulation is I have to write an unaccompanied piece and, you know, for a solo instrument, and I'd like to write it for you. So I said, great. And I, you know, it was great because I didn't have to commission it or anything. It had already been paid for by this award. So that was Devil's Strum. And I mean, it was like there's all this kind of foot stomping and drumming and a million notes in it. And a six minute piece, it took me about 70 hours to learn. It was so, I mean, to get it ready for the premiere, it was something. It was fun, though.
So you sort of knew what you were getting into with this new work as well, I guess, having worked with him before.
For sure, yeah. You know that you're going to be putting a lot of time into there's just so many – there's a lot of notes, you know, to play. And again, the gestures are very subtle, and the bending, and, you know, there's so many different ways and so many different phrases and lines and articulations to the music that you have to be very specific about. You know?
This is a very intriguing program this weekend. This concerto along with Rossini and Beethoven.
Yeah.
It's rather unique. How do you see that fitting in? I'm just curious.
I don't You know, I don't know. I mean, that's I guess that's a question Stephen Smith could answer, the maestro. I mean, I think actually, you know, we're talking about it. It's Beethoven 8,
right?
Which is one of my favorite favorites of those symphonies, because the third movement's got that really ultra rhythmic thing with all the heavy cross rhythms in it, which he started really having. It's kind of more fun. It's a more fun symphony, right. Kind of light. And I think that actually pairs well, like a good meal with the Visconti. I think
we always like variety, so it should be fun. I wanted to ask you also, you're going to be sitting in front of a symphony orchestra this weekend. You've done a lot of chamber music. So what are the differences for you playing classical guitar when you're doing chamber music with some of your collaborators, and sitting in front of a symphony orchestra?
Well, yeah, and I do. It's pretty much equal duty between those three elements of solo playing, chamber music or collaborations, and then the symphony. The three are very different experiences, but I would say that for me, playing with concertos with a symphony is a little bit more similar to chamber music, in the sense that you're playing reactively. You're working with the conductor, and the conductor is sort of the conduit between the soloist and ensemble. And in essence, it should be really very much like a chamber music experience between the soloist and just a much larger group of musicians. But I love it because it's just a sound. I love, sound and color and texture and articulation and that kind of thing. And you get so much more of that with the orchestra behind you than you do as a solo recitalist, of course.
Are you enjoying your time with the Richmond Symphony? You've been here since this morning? Or you came
I got here Wednesday evening.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you've had some time to enjoy the city too.
You know, the city has changed. The downtown is so much, it's wonderful. I was saying to the symphony, I didn't remember it having this many restaurants and stuff to do like 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. And they said, oh yeah, all these restaurants are new. So there's like so many good places to eat and walk around, and it's wonderful.
So everybody needs to go have a nice dinner and then hear Jason play tomorrow night.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You're teaching. You founded the guitar department at the Curtis Institute. You went to the Cleveland Institute. So you've been around some major schools, obviously. What intrigues me is this Jason Vio School of Classical Guitar that's online.
Yes.
How'd you come up with this? And if somebody is interested in studying with you, that's a great way to do it, isn't it?
I've been doing that for about 5 years, and it wasn't my idea. It's actually the ArtistWorks company. The company is created this interface that allows students to basically up from their iPhone or whatever, their phone, to upload a video to the server, and then I look at it and answer it. And I also have an assistant with me who's doing, in all honesty, right now doing the last couple months doing a good deal of the answering back, because I mean, when the touring months get so busy,
you're a little busy, I think.
Yeah, but it's been great, because actually with Colin Davin, that he's with, who's also with me teaching on the faculty at Cleveland Institute of Music, the response time is actually like now a lot quicker on our end, which is great. So the continuity and the progression of the for the students is a lot better. But it's something that I did all, by myself for the first 4 or 5 years of it. We started in 2012, I believe. And it's just great, because like they can study remotely from their living room, and then they get the response. And so it's not live. It's not Skype.
Okay.
It's uploaded to a server. So it's kind of a back and forth kind of, but it's just very similar to the same kind of relationship you would have a student teacher sitting, in a room. I mean, that's,
it's a wonderful opportunity for somebody to be able to touch base with you, because you're so busy traveling all around. You wouldn't be able to do this unless you did it online.
No, most of my lesson responses were all from hotel rooms. I did a few from like Shanghai or Hong Kong, I think, a couple months ago. Yeah, it's cool. So they get to see what you're doing too. I'll say like, hi, Peter, I'm getting ready for concert in Hong Kong. And I mean, it's kind of neat. It's pretty cool.
So do you learn anything from that experience, from working with these students online?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a learning experience as far as how a large group, I mean, a really large group of people. I mean, there's something like 500 subscribers to this school from 30 countries around the world. So you definitely learn more about just like, you know, how, I don't know, just that whole sort of how different people sort of receive information and then work on it. And because you only get a very small cross section of that in your, you know, Cleveland Institute of Music or Curtis studio. And here with the sheer numbers of it, you get more of an idea about how, you know, how people learn, really. You know,
So what's next for you? You've done everything. I guess you haven't done any recordings of concertos. We were talking a little bit about that off air.
I'm hoping that's something I hope to do soon for sure. They're much more expensive to make, obviously. Right. So that is something. We have a few leads, you know, in the future that we're going to try. We're going to look into. We definitely have some interested parties for sure, which would help to pay for something like that.
It's quite a project.
Yeah.
We have a couple of more minutes. Is there anything else you'd like to play? Another excerpt maybe for us real quick?
Let's see. I could play just like a short guitar piece, you know, like a...
That would be terrific.
Capriccio Arabe, which is off of my Play CD called Play, which is my most recent solo CD. Since I'm tuned in D, and this is Capriccio Arabe by Francisco Tarraga.
And if you want, you can turn your microphone down just a little bit, and we'll hear your guitar a little bit better. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Great.
Sounds great.
Okay, I'm an audio engineer.
There you go.
It's just a very short excerpt.
Well it's wonderful. Jason Vio is appearing with the Richmond Symphony this weekend, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Sunday afternoon at 3 at the Carpenter Theater, Dominion Arts Center. He'll be performing Dan Visconti's Living Language, and the orchestra also performing the Semiramide Overture by Gioachino Rossini and Beethoven's 8th Symphony. Jason, it's so great to have you here in the studio.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you.